You love the Lord, say amen. Now, I want to talk with you just a little bit, try to teach you just a little bit. And I'm going to try to explain a few things if I can. When I say if I can, the Lord tells us that we can do all things. But I mean if I can, in the sense if I can get you to listen, you know, get your heart and mind open to where you will pay attention. When I get off in revival, a lot of times I just have to preach continually. And I don't get to teach any unless I just crowd in a few thoughts of revelation. But here, I really love to talk about the revelation of Jesus. Now, say this concerning the badges. We got a letter, Brother Toby, on the badges, and the badge that you're getting is a really a beautiful badge. They told us yesterday in the letter that it was a beautiful badge with the seal of the Lamb and staff on it, holiness unto the Lord. And you can tell the way they write through the letter, you know, they've never done anything like this before. And it looks like it's thrilling them, you know. They want to keep our dye up there so they keep it in a vault that was moist-proof, and we could get it, you know, whenever we wanted. But they talk like they'd like to keep it, and it's a beautiful white lamb on with a red background, a gold staff, and the lettering in gold. High glow gold and silver. It's going to be a beautiful badge. Now, I don't believe in the wearing of gold. The Bible speaks against the wearing of gold, and when the Lord speaks against it, God really isn't speaking about not putting on any gold, but because of the way that they wore it in the Spirit. So we're not buying these badges for that. If they never pin them on them, they don't have to do that. They can put them in their little old clip and keep them. But the thing is, when they're on duty down here, I see nothing wrong with clipping their badges on. And this is a badge not to glorify the world, but it's got holiness unto the Lord. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but out in the millennium, the Bible said everything will have holiness unto the Lord on it, even the pots and pans. When the wife goes to cook a meal, she'll pick up a pot and it'll say, holiness unto the Lord. She goes over to the refrigerator, say, holiness unto the Lord. She go to pick up a pack, you know, go to pick up some flour to make some biscuits, it'll say, holiness unto the Lord. And everywhere she looks, she picks up the broom to sweep the floor and say, holiness unto the Lord. And everybody, if they go out, you know, to get the horse to put the bridle on, it'll say, holiness unto the Lord. They go to plow the field and pick up the plow and say, holiness unto the Lord. And everywhere you look, it'll be holiness unto the Lord. If you think we're overdoing it now, you just wait till we get out there. Holiness unto the Lord. Go down the road and meet Brother Taylor, say, holiness unto the Lord. Hear Brother Al way across the street, say, holiness unto the Lord. Them people that's ashamed of holiness, they won't be out there, so you don't have to worry about them. You know, some people, they're ashamed of holiness. They don't have enough understanding, and the colleges don't educate them high enough to know that holiness is the only clean thing there is. And they're ashamed of it. But the reason for that, a pig, he gets right shameful if you put him in a nice, clean living room. He feels out of place. But if you'll make him a nice, big, sloppy mud hole, well, he's as happy as he can be. And that's the reason the world's ashamed of holiness. The Bible said, don't cast your pearls before swine. God called them swine, and they're used to the mud holes of the world. And because of that, well, they just don't want any part of holiness. They feel all out of sauce, you know, when you talk about holiness. The reason is not because they're so clean, but because they're so dirty. I know that wasn't going to set right, but I'm glad I said it. You love the Lord? All right. The devil says, Brother Pike, that's what I don't like about you. You always downing my people and lifting up God's people. That's the way it's supposed to be. They're always downing God's people and lifting up the devil. Isn't that right? So it's time we begin to lift up God. All right, now. The reason the devil don't like what I say is because I say it like it is. You know, they got a little saying said, tell it like it is, and I tell it like it is, and the devil don't like that. He'd rather you'd hypocrite around a little and camouflage it and make it look a little clean, you know. I could say some things, but I better not. I mean, I really could say some things, but I better not. Praise God. I want to read just a little bit at least a verse here from Job, the 8th chapter. And I want to try to explain some things, if you'll give me a little time this morning, and see if you can understand a little better. So often you hear me make the statement, I'll say, you just don't understand, you just don't understand, you just don't understand. I sound like a cracked record saying you just don't understand, but I say that because you don't understand. Now, if you did understand, I'll say, you understand, you understand, you understand. But Jesus, walking along the road to Emmaus one time with him, said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written," you know, and foretold. And he called them slow of heart to believe. He said they were slow of heart to believe. In other words, they say, "Brother Pike, I'm planning to." 6 months ago, they said, I've been planning to. You meet them 6 months later, they say, "Well, the reason I haven't is because, but I'm planning to." So 6 months later, you meet them again, you know, and they say, "Well, I'm slow of heart to believe, but the reason I haven't is because, but I'm planning to." And so when the rapture takes place, you know, they'll have opportunity to say, "Well, Lord, I know I'm late, but I was planning to." How many of you planning to? Let me see your hand. Well, that's good. Now, I didn't say that to trap you, but how many has already done it? Let me see your hand. All right, that's good. All right, now, you know, a lot of people don't believe there's any such thing as a perfect man. But in the 8th chapter of the book of Job, the 20th verse, it said, "Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man." You ever read that? A lot of folks say, "Well, I just don't believe there is any perfect man, you know." But there must have been, or he wouldn't have said that, would he? I said, there must have been a perfect man, or he wouldn't have said that. That would have been a foolish thing for God to say here, you know. "Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man." I know this is from the book of Job. I understand that. And Bildad here speaking, but there must have been a perfect man, or he wouldn't say that. He was arguing with Job here, in the sense he said, "Job, you say that you're a perfect man. But if you're the perfect man, God wouldn't cast you away. But the Lord said Job was a perfect man, didn't he? Said he's perfect and upright in all of his ways." Isn't that right? Said Moses is faithful in all of his house. There is perfect men in the earth. You'll never believe it. The reason you don't believe it is because you're not perfect. It's kind of like this chandelier. The more I look at it, the more I think what really happened was I put some Fantastic on my glasses, and I cleaned up the glasses and the chandelier looks better. I think maybe that's what it was. That's what some people need to do, you know. They need to get a hold of some godly Fantastic and things that look better to them. It is a true fact that there is perfect men. And though they'll never be perfect in your sight, yet God did not try to make them perfect in your sight. God tried to make them perfect in His sight. And the Bible said, "God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And I feel like we've got some sanctified people. I said, I feel like we have. I know we got one. Tommy raised his hand. He feels like he's sanctified. John raised his, and we might have another one. You can't ever tell. So then I know that we've got some sanctified people. The Bible said God has sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus on the tree. How do you believe in Jesus? Well, He sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus, and He perfected forever them that are sanctified, and said nobody could find any fault with them. Isn't that right? How do you believe you can't find any fault with God's elect? The Bible said you can't lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Now, if you really believe that, why is it you're continually complaining to me about God's elect? See, you're not really a believer. You're a make-believer. You're not really a believer because if you was a believer, you wouldn't be complaining to me all the time about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Somebody would say, "But I don't believe that they're elect." Well, I'll tell you what. You, and I say this with no apologies, you are in bad shape to get down and waller in the hog pen with the hogs to profess the high standards that you do. God said those that are not Christians are swines. Somebody said, "Well, you need to apologize." I don't need to apologize for nothing. He said, "Preach the word," and the Bible said they're swines and they're dogs. and you're in bad shape to waller with them, if you've got no confidence in the preacher, you're in bad shape to come to church to listen at him. If you've got no confidence in your brothers and sisters, you're in bad shape. You're an unbeliever of the Word. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, because I blame so-and-so, that don't mean I'm an unbeliever of the Word. Yes, it does. Because the Bible said you can't lay anything to their charge. That's what the Word said. And if you believed the Word, you wouldn't be trying to lay anything to their charge. But what it is, you've got an evil heart of unbelief. That didn't sit right, did it? I said, you've got an evil heart of unbelief. And that's why you always find fault with them. Always. Now, somebody said, well, I saw what they did. You never saw a thing they did because they never did anything. Somebody said, you mean to tell me they didn't do that? No, they didn't do that. The devil did that. That's true, sister. The devil did it. The devil did that. I say, what do you mean? I mean, when Peter stepped aside, God didn't blame Peter with nothing, did he? Did he? I said, did he? What did he do? He blamed the devil with it, didn't he? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Is that right? But look at the difference. When Paul came, Paul blamed Peter. Didn't he? I said, Paul blamed Peter. But Jesus never blamed Peter, did he? A lot of difference in the way Paul looked at it and Jesus looked at it. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Jesus looked at the cause of it as God. Paul looked at the man that allowed it to happen. Isn't that right? You know what caused that? Because man looks on the outward appearance and God looketh on the heart. God saw the cause of it. The Bible said you're not to know any man after the flesh. Somebody said, well, wasn't Paul right in blaming Peter to his face? Well, let's just waste something just a few minutes. There was a feller that slapped Paul. And Paul turned around and said, you whited wall. Said, you set to judge me after the law and you smite me contrary to the law. And somebody said, revilest thou the high priest? He said, I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it's written that thou shalt not speak evil of thy people. See, he offered an apology. He realized he had made a mistake. God suffered him to make a mistake because he was a whited wall. Isn't that right? But nevertheless, God had him sitting there for a purpose. And Paul was not to speak evil of the ruler of the people. Isn't that right? All right. So then we see here that Christ looks at things a little bit different from what the world does. Is that right? A little bit different. You can't lay anything to the charge of God's elect. So then, why do you keep trying? Why don't you quit your mumbling and your grumbling and finding fault and saying, I can't, I can't, I can't, and get out and go somewhere to where you can? No need to make people miserable. If you can't, then go where you can. And if you can, we'll get in and go with us. I mean, to me, that's a simple thing. It don't take a lot of understanding to understand what I'm saying. No need of making yourself miserable and everybody else miserable too. Make up your mind. Don't be double-minded. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Don't be double-minded. Either do or don't. It's never people who do or don't that cause God's trouble. See, a person that's cold don't cause God any trouble because they're out the bar rooms and they're living it up and everybody knows that they're a devil and they just stay away from them. And God will have mercy and keep trying to reach them. And people that are living a Christian life, they don't cause God trouble. But it's them people that say, well, I just can't understand. I just don't know. I can't understand. I want to, but I just can't see it. That's the kind that stands at the door that won't go in and everybody else comes to hinder. Them's devils and demons. I said, them are devils and demons. I said, them are devils and demons. Whether you like it or not, it's devils and demons that do those kind of things. Get in or get out. Do something for God or shut your mouth. That's pretty strong, ain't it? The Bible said there's some folks' mouths that ought to be stopped, and we've got some people's mouths that need to be stopped, and if they don't stop them, God's going to stop them. Somebody said, I didn't come here to hear that this morning. Well, that's what you're hearing, because that was what was on the menu. You'll have to check it another place. You better check the menu before you stop. Hallelujah. Some people serve Japanese food. Some people serve Korean food. Some people serve hot tamales. You love the Lord? You better check the menu. If you don't like what the restaurant affords, you better find another restaurant. Now then, what a wonderful thought. Why is it so hard for people to get in and be a child of God? Somebody said, well, I'm just as much a child of God as anybody else, Brother Pike. I just don't see it like you see it. Well, find somebody that you can see it like. There's somebody you can see it like. If you can't see it like me, there's somebody else you can see it like. You say, well, who is he and where is he at? He's the devil. He's around wandering through the earth. I said, if you can't see it like me, you can see it like him. There ain't but two ways to see it. Somebody said, supposing that you're wrong, but supposing I'm right. I like to think of it like that. See, you like to think of it supposing that I'm wrong, but I like to think of it supposing that I'm right. See, I got as much right to suppose I'm right as you have to suppose I'm wrong. So then you can believe it like somebody else. Just because you got an evil spirit, you can't blame everybody else with it. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can say amen. If you can't say amen, I can say amen. Somebody said, I know it. That's the way you was when you come in here. That's what you come in here for, isn't it? But I'm feeling so much better. Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about the whole situation. Somebody said, you keep on, you're going to run me off. I couldn't run you off because I never had you to start with. The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, the sons of Satan come also. I'm not going to run anybody off. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I've not lost to one of them, Jesus said. Everyone you give me, I'll raise him up in the last day. I'll rub the old carnal mind wrong, and it'll get upset, and it'll show it colors. That is, it'll show the devil just got a hold of it. Now, I ain't got into my teachings yet. I'll get to that in a few minutes. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I think you mocking me, Brother Pike. Well, that's what Elijah done. He mocked him. The Bible said he mocked him. And if it's the devil, you can be sure I'm doing it. I mean, if somebody misunderstands and they think I'm not mocking the devil, well, let me encourage you to know that I'm mocking the devil. That's what I'm doing. That way you won't have to wonder about it, see. Now, I do that every once in a while. And the more I do it, the better I like it. And the better I like it, the more I do it. Hallelujah. And what I mean, I not only do it, but I feel good after I do it. You ever done something, feel good after you do it? Hallelujah. All right, now when I do that, what I do, see, before I get into my teachings, if I do that, every evil spirit out there, he'll show his colors or leave. And then I don't run into a briar because I know where the briar patch is at, and I just stay away from it while I'm teaching. Jesus did that. The evil spirits jumped up in his congregation. Sometimes they don't say nothing, but they still jump up. Now, how many of you know to be carnally minded is to live in death and to be acquainted with the devil? How many know that? When your reason and your mind lean to your own understanding, you're on your way to hell. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if I'm not going to take my understanding, then am I just going to be some kind of vegetable or a moron? No, your understanding is interwoven with the powers of Satan. And God is trying to destroy your understanding that he might establish his understanding. And when I say to you that you don't understand, I mean that you don't understand heavenly things. The Bible said, my people perish from the lack of understanding. You don't understand godly things. That's what I'm saying. You lean to your own understanding. You reason. When you come in here and you start reasoning, the first thing you do is let the devils in and the demon spirits in. But if you come into his gate with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, then you don't do that. You love the Lord? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not intending to make a change. But you will. The song said there'll be a change after a while. It might take a while. But there'll be a change. You'll make a change. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. You say, why do you want him to do that? I want to drown out that old evil spirit that tried to get his 2 cents in. The Bible said you'll tread on serpents. A lot of times we need to walk over them. Brother Taylor sings that song, we'll walk right over them. All right, now, I tell you this much, folks, in the love of God, I'm not planning to make a change. I done made mine, and I'm not planning to make a change. So that means that if you don't go along with me, you'd better make a change, because I'm not planning to make one. I done made mine, and I'm not planning to make one. That means if me and you're not coming together, then you better make a change, because I'm not planning to make one. Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody said, I've done got sought in these ways over 20 years. I've examined them, and I've looked at them, and I've read, and I've prayed, and the more I've thought about it, the better I like it. And the better I like it, the more I thought about it. And I just found out that I meditate in these laws day and night. I'd just rather do this than anything else I know. I'd rather do this than talk to my wife. That's right. I like this better than talking with my wife. And I don't know of anything I like better than being with my family. But I'll tell you what, I like this better. Hallelujah. So then quit complaining, quit finding fault. Look yourself right straight in the eyes. Just go up to the mirror and look yourself right straight in the eyes and say, you're a hypocrite. Why don't you shut your mouth? That's right. Just go tell him off. If you want to tell somebody off, just go right up there and look him right straight in the eyes and say, you hypocrite, shut your mouth. And you'll have it just right. I said, you'll have it just right. Leave everybody else alone, because you can't lay nothing to their charge anyway. You say, well, they just might not be right with God. Well, you don't need to be talking to them like that anyway. You're supposed to show the love of God and win them to the Lord. You ain't supposed to find fault with them. You're supposed to know to begin with that they're full of fault, so there's no reason to complain there. It just don't leave you any place, does it? All right. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. All right. He knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's come down with great wrath, because the Bible said he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I believe that we're living at the very place to where Lucifer is being cast out of heaven. According to the Bible, he wasn't cast out until the man-child was caught up. Isn't that right? All right, now, let's just go back for a few minutes this morning and see if we can get into a stream of teaching and bring out some thoughts here that might show you why that I believe that Lucifer is being cast out of heaven. I always use the term a lot of times going back to Calvary. Let us go back to Calvary. It's at Calvary that we find the open door between heaven and earth. It's at Calvary. Now, if I go back to Calvary, I can find the door between heaven and earth. But if I don't go back to Calvary, there is no entrance into the kingdom of God. The Bible said the law and the prophets were until Calvary. That is until John, since then the kingdom of God's been preached. And men press their way into it. That means that in this earth today, there is in the earth today an open door, the means by which we can go in and out of the kingdom of God. Is that right? I can enter into the very presence of God. I can do it. Brother Taylor said the man-child was caught up to the throne. A lot of people, I notice when he sings that song that they kind of draw back, you know, about being caught up to the throne. But I say again, as I said the other night, if you have not been caught up to the throne, then there's something wrong with your experience with God. The Bible said, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Is that right? That we might receive help in the time of need. So then, how can you come before the throne if you've not been caught up to the throne? Now, I want to go a little farther than that. I believe in being caught up to the throne. But I don't believe that being caught up to the throne is good enough for God's people. I don't believe that's good enough. Being caught up to the throne, even the wicked shall stand before the great white throne of judgment. But Jesus said, he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I've overcome, and sit down in the throne with my Father. I believe that this is the ultimate for the children of God, Toby. I feel in my heart that there is something greater than just being caught up to the throne. Thank you, Bill. This is something that is exciting to me. I praise you, Paul said, in a good work. I praise these young fellows and their endeavors and efforts to Christ. I praise these men and women that's trying to give a testimony to Jesus. In your long dresses, I praise you for it. I know some of you are playing the hypocrite. And I know some of you don't want to wear the long dresses. And I know that some of you would like to get away from him so you can get back to these short ones. I know that. You say, where do you get that, Brother Pike? Because I had some here not too long ago. I told them that. They've gotten away and they put the short dresses back on. But I praise the women that are willing to wear the long dresses and be a testimony for God. Amen. I praise the men that's got a backbone like a saw log that can stand around when these people saying, well, I don't know about this and I don't know about that and I wonder about this. And they say, let me tell you something, brother, there's no need to wonder. What you need to do is get right with God. God give me more men that's got a backbone that can stand up and do that. Hallelujah. Can't you just picture Jesus? Here Jesus stands and somebody says, well, I don't know whether John the Baptist was sent to do what he was sent or not. I don't know whether to believe in Peter or Paul. I'm not sure whether it was John or James. And Jesus just saying, now, well, now, don't get frustrated. I mean, can't you just picture, man, don't get frustrated now. It's all right. Just don't get frustrated. You just keep on keeping on. After a while, you'll see it. Jesus said, you hypocrite. He said, why tempt thou me? Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, he wasn't talking about the religious people. Yes, he was. Talking about the Pharisees and the scribes. He said, you hypocrite. Why come around here tempting me? The Bible said the righteous will understand. Isn't that right? I believe that we can be caught up to the throne of God. And I believe that we can get up yonder and be in the presence of God. And we can overcome and sit down in the throne with God. I believe that. Hallelujah. I don't know what you believe, but that's what I believe. I believe that we can overcome and have an experience I had last night when the Holy Spirit came into my room, the mighty powers of the Holy Ghost began to move in my heart. Hallelujah. I tell you, it done something to me last night. I believe that we can have a sure experience. And like I said the other day, we can have a know-so salvation in God. We can know that we pass from death unto life. We don't have to wonder. We can know. If you're not sure, then you need to get right with God. Brother Carter came the other day and said, I'm not sure, Brother Pike, whether I'm a Christian or not. I said, let's pray. We got down and prayed. After he prayed and wept before God, I said, how do you feel? He said, I'm sure. That means that you can be sure that there's something in God. Is that right? So then, The Bible said that he was caught up to the throne. Now, I tell you, I'm like Brother Paul. When I get up here and I start talking about this, something just goes all over me. I just feel something on the inside just like that. I mean, moving up and down my body, because I get excited when I start talking about the man-child sitting down on the throne. See, the real excitement of God starts when the man-child goes up to the throne. Is that right? That's when the excitement starts. The great battle is on when that child gets caught up to the throne. Now you say, Brother Pike, where is that throne? That throne is the mind of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, oh, don't be silly. I'm not being silly. Just like the crown of life. You know, some people are expecting to go to heaven and have God to come around, you know, and take a crown, a jewel crown, set it on the top of their heads, you know. They're so covetous about diamonds and pearls and worldly things till they're expecting God to come around, you know, and set a jewel crown on their head and say, here it is. I'll tell you one thing, if that's all that I was going to get, I'd quit. I said if all God was going to do was come around and set a jewel crown on my head, I'd quit. I could compromise, work a few gimmicks and get me one of them down here. Sure, I could do it. I could do it. Men that had less sense than I've got done it. I could do it. But the Bible said a crown of life. I'm looking for God, who is a spirit, to crown my soul with eternal life. That's the crown I'm looking for. It's everlasting life. That God will crown my soul with everlasting life. For he giveth us the crown of life that fadeth not away. And every person that I win to God, the Bible said God will make them up his jewels, and they'll be jewels in my crown of life. Somebody would say, well, what good is that? If your jewels ain't going to sit on top of your head, what good is that? That's silly, ain't it? I mean, that just makes you to know how childish you are. What good is a bunch of diamonds if I can't hang them around my neck? I'd much rather see a diamond walking around, hadn't you, than have to carry it around. Jewels in your crown of life. Somebody said, but I like them kind of sparkles. Well, I tell you what, these sparkle so much that the sun will never again show its face. I said, never again. A diamond needs the sun to make it sparkle. Isn't that right? But the sun needs these to make it sparkle. I said, it's in reverse. Without these, the sun don't sparkle. Without the sun, diamonds don't sparkle. That's right, it's got to be a light on it. But these that are sons of God are jewels that will appear in the heavens, outshining the noonday sun, and I'll behold the radiance of these beautiful jewels and the splendor as they walk through the earth. They'll be jewels in my crown of life. Throughout eternity, I'll see them. Radiant, beautiful, young, strong. You know, I love to think about the millennium. You know, you go around here and you see an old horse out in the crib and he's half dirty, gnawing on a hunk of corn. You know, it looks like he's about half dead. Maybe if you get a good rain for a few months, he gets a little grass and gets a little plump. But up there, you won't see anything like that. You'll see the horses roaming across the prairie, strong, healthy, no disease. The manes flowing in the breeze. See that, you know, the hair on their back slick, just slick like glass. The animals roaming around, beautiful and healthy. People just as healthy and robust, you know, walking around through the new earth. It'll just be so beautiful. Birds just a-chirping and streams flowing and flowers blooming and angels playing and singing on their harps. What a wonderful thought. Why not get excited? To me, I think it's wonderful. It's out of this world. You know, they talk about things that's out of this world, but they just exaggerate. But I'm not exaggerating. This is out of this world. Hallelujah. And yet you can have it. You can have it. I want to be a part of this catching up of the man-child, don't you? At this hour, this great man-child that will sit down on the throne. Somebody said, well, I can't just see going up there and sitting down all the time. I like to do something. Oh, he'll be doing something. He won't just be sitting around all the time. This man-child will rule with a rod of iron. He'll have a lot of subjects. And all of the nations of the world, Germany, Japan, China, India, every nation of the world will be under the power and the jurisdiction of this great man-child. Everyone will be under. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but you're talking about Jesus that'll be sitting in the throne. That's who I'm talking about. Jesus will be sitting in the throne. I said, he overcome and sat down in the throne. Somebody said, well, that don't mean them other folks. Well, I don't see any reason in setting another person on a throne if he ain't got some kind of authority to you. I mean, I think you'd be wasting your time to set somebody else up in the throne if you don't have any authority. As a matter of fact, you couldn't do that anyway. See, the word throne indicates power, control, and authority. When they say that this man is going to rise to the throne, that means he's coming to power, authority. Isn't that right? He's going to be a dictator. He's going to be something. If you overcome and you sit down in the throne with God, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, the throne wouldn't be big enough. But the Bible said, heaven is my throne. That's a pretty big place. Is that right? And the footstool, he said, earth is my footstool. That's pretty big too. Get a lot of feet on that. Now, isn't it a true fact that he that overcometh shall be on a throne over 20 cities, some over 30 cities, some over 100 cities. Isn't that right? Are you listening? Go over and say, Brother King Taylor. I said, anybody hear what I'm saying? Say, Brother King Taylor. Hallelujah. Would you take glad tidings of great joy from us over to the Master yonder in the beautiful city? Hallelujah. Somebody said, where do you get that, Brother Pike? The Bible said the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into the city. That means somebody's going to be outside of the city that has access to the city, and they are going to bring the greetings and the salutations and the glory of the people like a priesthood into the city to God. Isn't that right? Somebody say, you mean to tell me that I got to put up with that fellow over there too? After all of this? I'm afraid you have. I'm afraid you have. You know, somebody thought, well, he's a thorn in my flesh. I'll be glad when this thing's over. I told you we wasn't going to quit. You love the Lord? See, I'm talking about a real thing, folks. I'm talking about something that's living, something's alive, something that's part of you and something you're part of. This is real. This is a real thing. You know, we have differences about the seventh angel. Like Brother Denny said one time, how many seventh angels are there? Well, that's a good question. We have differences about the man-child and who the man-child is, what the millennium, you know, what it is in, and so forth. Always wondering. But did you know there is an answer to everything that you want to know? God thoroughly, completely has satisfied my soul. I've heard men for many years say, Brother Pike, I've had an experience with God, but I've never had that complete satisfaction. But brother, I've had that complete satisfaction with God. There is a complete satisfaction with God, and I've had it. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, I don't care. I still had it. The Bible said, can your unbelief make God's faith of none effect? God's faith is still effective in my heart, and I believe it because I've had it. If you've ever eaten a banana pudding, you know it because you tasted it. I've had it, my brother, and I've still got it. That wholly complete, I mean completely, completely being satisfied in God. Somebody said, well, I ain't never got like that. Well, you need to get like that. There is a rest of God that you can enter into. Somebody said, well, if I'm afraid if I get like that, I won't never get nothing else. Well, you don't have to worry about that. Just get it all and you won't have to worry about getting nothing else. I said, I just went and got it all, and I didn't have to worry about getting nothing else. I might say, what are you talking about? I'm preaching the Word. The Bible said, all things are yours. Is that right? All things are yours. You have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. The Bible said you have the minds of Christ. Paul said you have the minds of Christ. And the mind of Christ knows everything. Everything belongs to us. Everything belongs to us. I said everything belongs to us. You don't act like anything belongs to you, but everything belongs to me. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I just can't believe everything belongs to me. Well, come on over to my house. I said, we've got everything. Hallelujah. Everything. Well, he even told me yesterday that the heavens was my tent. That's a big place. You could come over to my meeting. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that because I've always wanted to preach to the people in China, Germany, and different places, and I found out they're all under my tent. Hallelujah. That's a big ministry, ain't it? You know, you want a world ministry? That's a world ministry. Hallelujah. I'm talking about good times and God. I mean good times and God. Hallelujah. I'm having a good time in God. Hallelujah. You ever seen a little baby get out in the middle of a pond, start kicking his feet and splattering the water? He'd look up at mom and daddy and grin. As long as they don't put their hands on him to get him out of the water, he's all right. But he'll splatter the water and kick his feet. You know, he's having a good time. I'm having a good time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I used to have a song said, let the good times roll. Amen. I'm having a good time. Woo, I feel something. I believe some of you are having a good time too because I feel a connection. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why not have a good time? Amen. Ain't no need to have nothing but a good time. Serving God's good times. Serving God's joy. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time. Praise God. Somebody said, well, I'm waiting until I get on that new earth. You know, this is the problem. Everybody's waiting to get to the new earth so the new earth can make them happy. But I done got something happy that's going to make the new earth happy. I'm not waiting for the new earth to make me happy. I'm going to change this earth and make this earth happy and turn it into the new earth. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel good. Hallelujah. That preacher from Jamaica sings, it's good, good, good. We need him here to sing good, good, good right now. Hallelujah. You believe the Bible? The writer said there are some streams whereof maketh glad. Is that right? There are some streams that maketh glad the heart. Hallelujah. Jesus said one time, said Brother Pike, said, I'll give you some water if you want it, that you won't never have to thirst anymore. I said, give me the water. Give me the water. Hallelujah. And his brother Taylor said, he gave me water that was not from the well. Hallelujah. I've never thirsted again. Never again. They have a song, never again, no, never again. I've never thirsted again. Hallelujah. Since I got a hold of that water, I'll tell you what, if I just feel the least bit, you know, like I might thirst, I just say, hallelujah, and the water just comes right up. Draw water out of the wells of salvation with what? Joy. A lot of people don't ever drink from the well because they don't ever have any joy. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. I have joy. I was in the bathroom today, you know, I was just standing there and I was kind of combing my head. I ain't got no hair to comb, and I was combing over my head. You know, I'd get this little bit of hair back in, try to comb it. And I was standing, and the more I thought about it, I got to thinking, well, hallelujah, glory to God, this is wonderful. And first thing you know, I felt like shouting again. Sometimes I get to jumping and hollering and shouting, you know. The more I think about it, the better I like it. I get to shouting and jumping and hollering and screaming and praising God. And I think, what will my wife think? What will my wife think, you know? She's in yonder. I thought, well, she can't hear me. The fan's going anyway. Hallelujah! You say, Brother Pike, do you really act like that? I really act like that. You didn't know that, did you? Praise God. Some of these people, you know, say, well, I thought I was following a sober, sophisticated fellow. I am. I'm sober. Hallelujah. The Bible says, be not drunk in all the cares of life. I'm not drunk. I'm sober. I'm sober. Are you sober? Well, let's get drunk. I said, let's get drunk. It's a lot better when you get drunk. Hallelujah. Drunk folks have a good time. Let's get drunk off of the new wine. When was Pentecost? May the 18th? Yeah. Hallelujah. Get drunk off of the new wine. Shall I say, well, if I had some of that new wine, well, we got a whole jug of it. Whole jug of it. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I'd like to have communion. I'm having communion. What about you? I said, I'm having communion. Hallelujah. Communion with you and communion with God. I'm having communion. I'm drinking of His blood. I'm eating of His flesh. What a hallelujah morning. What a hallelujah day. What a hallelujah time. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't have to be sick. I said, you don't have to be sick. The devil, he'll try to make you sick, but you don't have to be sick. Amen. That's right. You know, the devil, he'll get a hold to me and he'll say, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. I'm killing him. I say, oh me, oh me, oh me. Then the Lord comes along, you know, I get my face straightened out and I say, feeling better, feeling better, feeling better. Hallelujah. The devil say, you can't go any further, you can't go any further, you can't go any further. I say, Jesus help me, Jesus help me. The Lord come down, I say, make it another mile, make it another mile. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said it'll work for you too. It works for me. I know it'll work for you. Hallelujah. You feel good? To love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your strength. This is the day the prophet spoke about. This is the coming of the Lord. This is a time when people shall rejoice, have a good time, and praise God. You love the Lord? You know, a lot of times we get hung up on things. Will you give me another minute or two? When you get thirsty, you feel like you're getting dry, drink a little water. Hallelujah. That's what I do. If I feel a little dry, you know, I just go to the Lord and I get me a little drink of water and I feel better. Feel a little dirty, by the washing of the water of the Word, I take a good bath. I feel better. I feel better. Hallelujah. Feel like I'm sick, I just go to the chief physician. I get me a prescription and I take it and that takes care of it. I feel better. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? You know, there's one thing about this physician. He's never lost a case. I said he's really got a reputation. He's never lost a case. Brother Roberts used to say everybody ought to have a family physician, and I believe it. Don't you? I got me one. I said, I got me one. I believe that. I got me one. He's never lost a case. Hallelujah. Let's just look at some things for a few minutes, have a little discussion. Now, a lot of times we wonder, why does people praise individuals? Now, are you going to listen to me? Why is it that people praise individuals? Will you listen with an open heart? I can help you if you will. Make you a happy Christian. Why do they do these things? Listen, brothers and sisters, God is a spirit. You've never seen God. I said, you've never seen God. Are you listening? Somebody said, but I have. No, you've never seen God. If I told you that and you had seen God, I'd be a liar. And if I was a liar, I wouldn't have no business up here in the pulpit, would I? So you ought to get a council together and get me out from up here if I don't know what I'm talking about. But you've never seen God. Never. And you know what? You're never going to see God. Never. 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 You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said when I get to heaven. No. No, won't be no difference up there than it is down here. Never. Is that right? Now, the Bible said that God is a spirit. Is that right? And they endured as seeing Him. Who is invisible. Is that right? But the Bible said that He is the invisible God. Now, you can't see anything invisible, can you? Is that right? That's why you can't see me. See, I'm a quickening spirit. I'm invisible. You can't see me. Somebody said, but you're crazy. I'm looking right at you. You never see me. No, you never see me. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm looking right straight at you. Your eyes is just playing tricks on you. You never see me. You love the Lord? Or somebody said, well, how are you going to prove I never seen you? All right, just supposing that something happened to me and they took me over to the cemetery. Or they took me over to the funeral home. And you come over looking for me. You wouldn't find me, would you? Or somebody said, if they took you over to the funeral home, they'd have you over in a casket. No, they wouldn't. Now, I'll be done moved out and gone. I'll be done moved out and gone. You still wouldn't see me, would you? You could hear me. I'm telling you some things. And you know I'm living in here somewhere, but you don't see me, do you? You don't see me. Isn't that right? So then the Bible said God is the great light under which no man can approach. No man, no human being can even get near the light. The sun is a great light. You can't get near that sun. Scientists teach it would burn you into cinders. And if you got anywhere near, you can't do it. God is the great light. You can't get near that light. It reminds me of a vision one time my mother had. It comes to my mind at this time. Said that she saw us doing something. And she spoke of a great light and a great thing that was doing. And I told Mom, I said, you can't get close to it. You have to stay out there. Christ dwells in the light. Oh, I know you don't understand what I'm saying. I know you don't. But Jesus Christ alone dwells in the midst of the great light. You know, some of us so carnal minded, when we say light, we're wondering about the electricity. Somebody say amen. I said, people so carnal minded, you talk about light and they wonder about the electricity. Folks, that ain't no light. That electricity ain't no light. That's just a shadow of things to come. Can you imagine that? A bright fluorescent light that you call a light, that's not a light at all. That's just a shadow. Where do you see the light? But Jesus dwells in that light. Not only does He dwell in it, but the Bible said that the Lamb shall be the light of the city. And John said that this great light, this light, to them that sat in the regions of darkness, great light is sprang up to them that sat in the shadows of death. Hallelujah. Great light has sprung up. Jesus, the Lamb, is in the middle of that light. Is that right? Where is that light? The beautiful light. Paul was brilliant. Paul was the greatest man in the earth, probably as far as knowledge. But he was so unlearned in the presence of that light that it blinded him. This great light of God, Jesus dwelling in the midst of that light. Where is that light? The Bible said this is the light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. Every man that cometh into the world, this great light lighteneth him. Is that right? A great light. For unto us is sprang up a great light. A man would come through the land and something would start happening. And they would say, where did this man get this great wisdom? They said, a mighty prophet has risen up in our midst. Why? Because he testified of a light, a great exceeding light, a light that was so powerful that it would transform the minds of humanity, a light that was so powerful that
when the great white throne of judgment is completely unveiled, that all of the earth fled away, and there was found no place for the mountains. There was no place for the seas and the ocean. All of it fled away into nothing. Why? Because of this great lie. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. You don't understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I could dance a jig and sing a song. I said, you don't understand what I'm saying. And the Bible said the heavens and the earth, they fled away, and there was found no place for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Jesus dwelled in the midst of that great light. In the midst of the great light dwelt Jesus. He alone having access. And no man can approach unto that great light. My dear brother, it doesn't matter who you are, you can't get to that. I said you can't get to that. You can study and you can read and you can pray and you can fast and you can testify and you can travel and you can go to China and you can go to India, but you can't get close to that. That light has to be revealed to you. It has to be revealed. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men at any time, the things that God hath for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? He hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It's not by power of might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. People are trying to program. They're trying to do everything that they can to make the church go. They're trying to win souls by means of money, by means of everything but the Spirit of God. But the revival stopped because the move of the Spirit stopped. You can say amen or oh me. The move of the Spirit stopped. And when it stopped, the church stopped. And the big evangelists began to do lying signs and wonders and sell handkerchiefs and holy water to support it. You can say amen or oh me. Said it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But what they failed to do, the Bible said when the tent in the wilderness stopped and the clouds stopped, the Bible said they stopped. And the Bible said when the tent moved and the cloud moved, the Bible said they moved. I remember a vision we had not too long ago when I saw the great pillar of fire come down out of the bright noonday heavens and come down and stand over this tabernacle. I saw it. And I saw it as I spoke to men. And I saw this great, wonderful thing burst and go into different men. The Bible said when that cloud was over the tabernacle that God was in the tabernacle. It was a positive proof that God was in the tabernacle. This great cloud, the pillar of fire, came down over the tabernacle. That meant there was a move on. Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle, as long as we are in this tabernacle, my brother, today, if you are in the tabernacle of God, if you are the tabernacle of God, and John said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Somebody said, but I don't believe the tabernacle of God's here, but the tabernacle of God is here. I said, the Bible said that the tabernacle of God was among men. You know what throws people off? How many know that Elijah was a man? Elijah was a man. Somebody said, well, if Elijah was here, but a greater than Elijah is here.
Somebody said that old bald-headed Elijah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said old brother Elijah was a human being. Did you know that? The Bible said he was a man of like passion, the same as you and I. He liked beans and biscuits just like I do. That's right. That's what throwed them all. Somebody said that great man of God sitting down filling his belly. He did when he got hungry. That's what throwed him off. Old brother John came and wouldn't eat nothing. He said he got a devil, so that's what's wrong with him. Anybody that didn't have a devil that no beans and biscuits was good. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus decided he'd do it another way. So he come and he sat down and he began to eat with them, didn't he? Said the glutton, the wine bibber, friend of publicans. Somebody say amen. I said, you can't please folks. There ain't no way to please them. God did everything to please them, and he couldn't please them. He's give them syrup and give them honey and give them biscuits and give them money and give them cars. He's give them wives and give them children, give them oceans and give them stars. He's give them the wind, the sunshine, everything, and he still can't please them. Ain't no way to please them. They look up and the Bible said the heavens declare his handiwork. And they see all of it and then they sit down with their little old bitty bird-like brain and they start figuring, you know. And they say, let me see now. If I can make two and two make whatever it's supposed to make, I know I'll find the answer and find out where this world come from. And somebody kept figuring. They said, I got it. It come from a tadpole. Somebody say amen. I said, somebody finally figured it out. They said they found out it come from a tadpole. Somebody say hallelujah. You want me to tell it like it is, don't you? Can people be so deceived? They write books about it. They say, let's put half of our fortune behind this fella. He's discovered that this world has come from a tadpole, and I want to be part of helping him. Let the people know that they're not ignorant, that we know that we come from tadpoles. The other half, they don't like to say tadpole, so they say, well, we'll take it a little higher than that. We come from monkeys. Is that right? You know, going back to a tadpole, that's kind of stretching things. They wait till the evolving stages get a little further along, and they figure, well, a monkey looks more like us than a tadpole does. I used to, really and truly, I'm telling you the truth, I used to dispute with people. I used to say, you know that couldn't be. You know that couldn't be, and one day God said it can be. I told him, I said, it couldn't be. You know you didn't come from no monkey. One day God told me, he said, all of them are brute beasts. Said, every one of them come from the beast. I quit arguing with them then. The writer said they're brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Is that right? But I'll tell you what, a son of God never come from a monkey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't have his origin from a tadpole either. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you think we got any sense? I'll tell you what, it makes you wonder when you get the belt and you lash them kids and you send them off over yonder to study about the tadpole and where it come from. And you beat the hide off of them if they don't make a whatever they're supposed to make on a report card. I don't know because I ain't a school teacher. Frank can tell you. But whatever it's supposed to make, you beat the hide off them just about. If they don't make it, you come home and you say, what did you learn today? Well, I don't know. You mean that them others learned that they come from a tadpole and you don't know it? Come on, folks. I'll beat the hide off of you, Daddy says. Next year when you come up here, boy, you better know. So the next year the boy, he gets scared and he comes back, you know. He said, Daddy, I'm not only... Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about God cutting people off in foolishness. Turn them over to a foolish, reprobate mind because they didn't have a love for God. Turn them into a bunch of fools. God said he did it. That boy said, I not only learned I come from a monkey this year, said, but we've been acting like one. He said, we get off over there and we strip our clothes off and we put on some shorty shorts and we turn flips and we jump up. You know, and we do all kinds of things and somebody hollers, you know, what they call them, the cheerleaders. Cheer, cheer, cheer. What is it? What do they say? All kinds of things, you know, and they turn cartwheels. Now, some fella really got the right idea about the things. I read the other day where he put everything down
and he had him a zoo. And the politicians and all alike, he said he just picked one of them out. Said that's one of the animals of his zoos. Sound like things is catching up with him, don't it? I say you're trying to be comical. I'm trying to tell it like it is, folks. That's all. That's the way it is. But folks, you're not ignoramuses. You're not ignoramuses. We're sons and daughters of God. We're sons and daughters of God. Don't you feel that spirit crying, Abba Father? The Bible said his spirit bath with his thy spirit, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Hallelujah. We're not a bunch of tadpole worshipers. We worship the Son of God. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this, ain't you? Hallelujah. The Bible said God turned your wisdom into foolishness. Paul said science falsely so called. All right, now, let's look at it a little further, can we? Going back to our thought here now. Why? See, you can't see God. You can't approach unto God. God is the great light. He's that great understanding, that great mind of God. Paul said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, it lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. If your eye, the eyes of your understanding, the eye of God, if your eye be single, Jesus said, that is, you believe there's one God, not a Trinity. I said, if your eye be single, then your body's full of light. But if it's not, he said, you're full of darkness. Is that right? Is that right? That means your eyes, if you understand, you can't be double-minded. You got to be single-minded. If you're double-minded, you're full of darkness. Somebody said, well, I don't know. Well, when are you going to learn? I tell you what, if you don't know, you better start learning pretty quick or you're never going to learn. You're going to be a dropout in school. You ought to learn something. I don't want to be too hard on you, but I feel like you ought to at least learn something sometimes. There ought to be some showing forth of growing in the knowledge of God. The Bible said growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So then, you can't see God. I want to make a point here, and I'll get around to it in a minute. You can't see God. Nobody has ever seen God. Nobody will ever see God. Never. No, never. They will never see God. You understand? Nobody has ever seen God, and nobody will ever see God. Somebody would say, well, where do you get that? The Bible said, preach the word. And the word said, God, that is the Spirit, is the great light. That is, he's a knowledge, he's an understanding. He's not a printed page. He's an existing state of being that you can't see. He is the invisible God. When two or three come together, he's in the midst of them. And all the confidence that you can place in God through the mediation of Calvary, you can reap the benefits of it. All you got to do is believe in the Spirit through Calvary. See, he can't get to you except you believe. Believe what? Believe through Calvary. Because Calvary is the atonement for your sins. Calvary is what makes the way for you to contact the great Spirit. Are you following me? See? In other words, God is willing to give himself to us. He has freely and abundantly given himself to us, but we can't contact him except there be an atonement for that middle wall of partition that's called the separation. If I can believe in God, I have to do it through the atonement. That's why God wants us to believe in Calvary. God isn't a selfish, starched up God that wants everybody to worship him. God is a reasonable God that knows that your flesh has separated you from the invisible Spirit and you are in a dying condition. And for that eternal Spirit to get to you, the only self-existing one, the only source of life, the only supreme eternal being, for him to be able to reach you, you've got to meet with him at Calvary. I said you've got to receive him through the means and measures that he himself set forth, which is Calvary. There is no other door. There is no other means. There is no other measures. It's Calvary. I believe in the eternal spirit through Calvary. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God, that you believe on him the Father sent. In other words, you believe on Calvary. You believe on me. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. I did it for you, Jesus said. I made it easy for you. All you got to do now is have fellowship with the Spirit through the Word. That's why he wants us to conform to the Word. You follow me? You say, what are you getting at? I mean, there is a mind, an existing mind, and that mind is Christ. And that eternal life gets to you through that invisible existing light, through the mind. You've got to get into the revelation. You've got to get into the mind of Christ. God will not meet you in your mind. God will not meet you in the world. God cannot meet you anywhere except in the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can learn about him, hear about him, know about him, but you can't enjoy him. Are you listening? So then, God is the great light. You can't get to him. No man has ever seen him. Now listen real close. And the Bible said he's the great light into which no man can approach. No man has seen, nor can see. You hear me? I said he is the great light that no man's ever seen, nor can ever see. Now that's what I want to establish. Now you say, why you want to do that? That'll make it easy for me to tell you what I want to tell you, if you know that much. All right, now listen. If God is the invisible God, if God is the great light, if you can't see God, if you can't get to God, you understand what I'm saying? Now, that explains why that God uses a man. Are you listening? I said that explains why that God uses a man. Somebody said, well, I can see God for myself. I just told you, you never have and you never will. Is that right? The Israelites said, oh, we can handle this thing ourselves. Moses, isn't that right? Moses said, okay. They started into Canaan land and they began to get killed. They said, Moses, we've changed our mind. Is that right? Oh, we don't need this Moses. Where is he at? Said he went up on a mountain. Said, oh, we don't know what he's doing. Aaron, you come over here and let's have some revivals. Are you listening? Aaron said, okay, we'll have a revival. So they had a revival. They built them a golden calf and they hollered and they shouted and they jumped and they done everything. And somebody said, how much you getting the offering? Somebody said, took $30,000 out of this group. Said, did you see them people shouting the other night? Said, well, they're shouting up there with them tens and twenties just to coming. Somebody said, but where's Moses? Said, Joshua, go tell him my servant Moses is dead. Said, go tell him he's dead. I know this ain't going to sound right. I don't expect it to, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Somebody said, well, Brother Branham was the seventh angel. Are you listening? We know that Moses was a prophet. We don't know nothing about you, Jesus. Jesus said, well, if you'd have known about him, you'd have known about me, said, because he spoke about me. Isn't that right? Now, what did he say? They said, but he's the seventh angel. Well, that means the angel's dead now. Everything's over. I said, did you hear what I said? I said, the angel's dead now. Everything's over. Of course, that's the first time I ever heard of an angel dying. The Bible said, in heaven you shall be equal to the angels. Angels cannot die. But now if he's the seventh angel, everything's over because he's dead. The angel's dead and buried. They got him up yonder in Indiana. Somebody said, are you mocking? I'm not mocking. I don't think Brother Branham would mind me saying this. He and I had an agreement. We saw eye to eye. Amen. Now then, that means the angel's dead. Is that right? Somebody said, what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? I'm trying to say what you hear me saying. I said the angel is dead. If he's the seventh angel, then the angel is dead and gone. Am I telling you right? Does that sound right? Does that make sense? Now, I told you that much, and I want you to tell me this much. When did angels start dying? Where's the first record in the Bible where the angel, first angel ever died? I read where they're bound. I read where they're cast in the bottomless pit. I read where they've done all kind of things, but I never read where one of them never died. Good or bad ones, I never read where they ever died. Did you? Now I read where man dies. The Bible says the soul that sinned shall surely die. But I never read where angels ever die. So then, Brother Pike, you're wrong, somebody says. Well, it could be a possibility that I might be right and you might be wrong. Somebody said, but you're wrong because we say he was a seventh angel. Now, but if that be true, then he's dead. And that's the only one of the seventh angels I know that died. That's the only one. Somebody said, but all of them, Paul, Luther, all of them, down through the ages, all of them are dead too. So that means all seven of the angels are dead. I don't leave us anything, does it? See, you say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that we get just as foolish on one thing as we do the tadpole. Angels don't die. God never sent those angels there to die. It's because the people do not understand. They say, but we understand. But I say you don't understand. Somebody said, well, we're having a feud down here about this thing. Now, I'm feuding. I don't know whether Brother Pike's the seventh angel or Brother Branham's the seventh angel or Martin Luther was the seventh angel or whoever this is coming on the scene is the seventh angel. I don't know which one is. You want me to help you a little? You want me to help you a little bit? Forget about every one of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. And then God can show you who the seventh angel really is. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Somebody said, but we saw them just like we see you. I know you did. That's what I said a while ago. You saw them just like you see me. I can tell that you saw them just like you see me because of the way that you talk about them. Something's happening, folks. You believe that? I said, something's taking place. I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. The move is on, the move is on. I feel something going up and down in my soul, moving around in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, every time I get close to God, that babe jumps up and down the wound and he just... Hallelujah. All right, now, let's finish what we're saying. We probably won't get into the subject of the seventh angel, but at least we dropped a thought for you to think on. Maybe next time we will. I wanted to get into it today. But let me just say this concerning something else I wanted to clarify. I know you're tired and want to go home, but just give me a few minutes to clarify this, a thought or two. That is why that God, who is a spirit, uses human beings. Are you listening now, folks? Is this more interested to you than what you are thinking about somebody else or something else? Is it more interesting to you than going home, getting your good meal, getting the stomach ache? Going out somewhere, riding in the car? You've done that hundreds of times. I mean, you've rode in the car hundreds of times. You've been to the mountains. You've been to the lakes. You've been to the seas. You've done all of that. You've eat breakfast and dinner and supper and breakfast and dinner and supper and breakfast and dinner and supper. Why don't we do something different? Why don't we find out something about God? You've listened to that old mind of yours make excuses over and over and over and over why you couldn't You just had to do this and that. Let's learn something about God. I ain't going to hold you but a few more minutes. Somebody said, I'm tired. Well, getting out of here ain't going to rest you. I mean, I don't see that's got nothing to do with you sitting down. After I'm standing up, I ought to be the one who's tired. You say, well, I'm hungry. Well, Solomon said, the appetite ain't never satisfied. Ain't no need to worry about that. I've been hungry ever since I come into this world. Eat every day. And ain't never got enough. You say, well, I got enough. Well, you won't be eating anymore then. I never have got enough. My wife cooked steak one day and I liked that. And the next day she cooks chicken and I decide I'm hungry again. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, but I'm tired of holding these babies. That ain't what you're tired of. That baby's been an excuse for you for how many years? You get home, you don't even know where that baby's at. You can't even find it. Say, Mama, where's that young'un? I don't know. You look at yourself. Expect me to do everything? Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Somebody must be married. Sometimes you hit a polecat and that's bad. I don't know if you've ever hunted or not. But that's bad business when you mistake a polecat for a possum. I've done that several times, you know, in the church. Brother Taylor remembers the vision of the polecat, don't you? Over in Mississippi. All right, now. See, that is why that God uses individuals, folks. And I ain't going to try to get into nothing deep. I'm just going to get this little bit across to you and then I'm going to stop. That is why that God uses individuals. Why did God use Moses? Now I want you to listen close and be honest hearted with me. Why did God use Moses? We're getting close to the judgment. We got to get this thing settled. We can't just keep on running out on a limb. We got to get this thing settled once and for all. Either you're right, or I'm right, or we're both wrong. And if I'm wrong, then we're all on our way to hell. Somebody said, well, I'm not. Just because you're going to hell, that don't mean I'm going to hell. Well, it certainly does. The Bible said if you bid something, God speeds you partakers of it. And you sit here and say amen every time I say it. That means that we're all on our way to hell if I'm wrong. So we need to find out where we're going. If you say amen to the things I say and you don't practice it, something's wrong. You serve me with your lips, but your heart's so far from me. You don't serve me indeed, Jesus said. All right, now listen. Why did the Lord use a man? I just want to take a few illustrations. Why did the Lord use a man? Why did he use Moses? Can somebody tell me? Somebody would say to me, they'd say, well, Brother Pike, I don't feel like he had to use Moses. I don't either. He could have used Brother Gonzalez. He could have had Brother Gonzalez born back there. He didn't have to use Moses. But now if he used Brother Gonzalez, we'd be reading about Brother Gonzalez and somebody said, well, I don't think he had to use Brother Gonzalez. Well, he didn't have to. He could have used Brother Richard back there. But if he used Brother Richard, somebody said, I didn't have to use Brother Richard. He could have used somebody else. So you see, a human being is a human being. Is that right? That's what I'm trying to say. A human being is a human being. It don't make no difference what prophet comes to you. There's been many prophets that came. And the Bible said that the people stoned every one of them. There wasn't a one of them that they didn't kill out. Either with their words or indeed. Jesus spoke them and stoned them with their words. Now, see, in other words, I'm saying that no matter who the human being is, it's got to be some human being. Don't you agree? I can tell you the trouble if you want me to. These are the parts that I drop in without any extra cost, and the people don't like them sometimes. Is that right? Out yonder the world, you got to tie things together. That fella said every bit of it be yunk if it don't have no nuts and bolts in it. Is that right? You know where the trouble is? It isn't that you don't like Brother Moses. It isn't that you don't like Brother Richard. It isn't that you don't like Brother Al Gonzalez. But it's that old devil of jealousy in you. And the trouble is you wonder why God didn't use you. That's what a trouble is. I mean, you're not hiding Satan. That's what the trouble is that old Cain spirit of jealousy is what it is. It killed his brother Abel. Don't want to live right, don't want to do right, but despises the thought that God used Moses instead of him. That's where your problem is. That's where your problem is. So that it wouldn't make any difference. It's a human being. Somebody said, that old Sister Frances, if they had somebody else down here, we'd listen at her. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't listen to her no more than you would that old Sister Frances, as you call her. Somebody said, well, I didn't know you heard me say that. There's a record, though, isn't there? There's a record. Said he sees the good and the evil. So see, brethren, that isn't what it is. Why does the devil war against me? I'm a nobody. Somebody wrote it on the back of a card, I'm a nobody, trying to tell everybody that there's a somebody that can save anybody. So I don't claim to be nobody, but I'm a human being. And if God put me here to build a church and pastor a church, I can't help it. I'm a human being. It'll have to use some human being. The fellow that built the church on the other side of the hill wasn't Brother Pye. It was another human being. If you hadn't used that human being, you had to use another one. You understand what I'm saying? Ain't you glad that that human being didn't marry your wife? And that you're the human being that married your wife? It'd have been bad if another human being had married your wife, wouldn't it? How many understand what I'm saying? It had to be a human being, didn't it? Did it have to be a human being? Some human being had to marry a woman. But you know, people are like this. This is their world. They live in this world, and everything is just right in their world, and they know everything, and everybody else is a moron. Come on, folks. I said, they don't see any other world. They're a great big knowledge, you know, that sees everywhere, knows everything, and thinks everything, and the world's a big, bright place to them. But the others is a bunch of moron that lives in cages that need to come over and hear what we got to say. Have you ever stopped to consider that maybe he's got a mind and maybe there's a big world to him and maybe he understands and maybe he sees too? Maybe he thinks about his wife the same way you think about your wife? He's not shut off in a corner somewhere under a juniper tree. It might do us good to realize that everybody's human beings too. You ever thought of it like that? God uses human beings. You might not know as much as you think you know. If you talk with somebody that did know something, as long as you talk to a bunch of ignoramuses, you're going to be pretty smart. But if you ever talk to a smart man, you might be an ignoramus. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right, now that's why God uses human beings. God uses human beings. God used Moses. Somebody said, I ain't got time to listen to that. Well, you excuse, going home. God bless you, I love you. If I don't see you in heaven, I'll see you on the way. We'll meet somewhere. I don't know which way you're going, but we'll probably meet. Somebody said, well, I got this kind of ache and that kind of ache, and I know you have. I know you have. Tummy aches and all kind of aches. Used to call them out in the world belly aches. Said that fellow's always belly aching. That's country talk, ain't it? You know what a sow belly is off of a hog? You might not, but if you ever tasted some, you would know. All right, now, God uses human beings. That's to help sweeten the water a little. God uses human beings. Moses was a human being. God uses human beings. Why is it that Brother Taylor praises a human being? I wish this one fellow, he would get up and leave. He's a thorn in my flesh. I wish he'd get up and leave. I declare he ain't got enough spiritual desire to stay and listen to nothing. He's always got to leave. In just about every service, he's got a reason why he's got to leave. God turned some people over to a reprobate mind to let them believe a lie and be damned. You know what a reprobate mind is? Thinking their own thoughts. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what is a reprobate mind? A reprobate mind is when you lean to your own understanding. You're reprobate to every good work. The Bible said, leave your own understanding alone. That's what a reprobate mind is your own understanding. Figuring it out for yourself. Saying, well, I think he's preached long enough. I'm hot and I'm uncomfortable. The devil's always been hot and uncomfortable. But I want to tell you something. When God gets through him, he's shown us going to be hot. And you're going to be as uncomfortable as he is. I'm going to close, but I want to finish what I'm saying. If I didn't have to say so many things in between, I'd done been through. Maybe you'd be better listeners. Show them God uses human beings. Is that right? You can't see God. God is invisible. God is a spirit. Why does God have people to praise human beings? The Bible said, let another man's lips praise you. Somebody said, well, I don't see why you let him do that. I had a fella not too long ago. He come to me. Said, I want to ask you one thing. I said, yes, sir. What is it? Why do you let that Franklin Taylor praise George Pike like he does? I said, well, I told him not to, and he told me to do what he wanted to. You know, he's a human being, too. But I said, but Brother Taylor, you can't do that. He said, but the Bible said, let another man's lips praise. He said, I got to obey the Bible. You told me to obey the Bible. I mean, he's no ignoramus, too. He's got some sense, too. See, you might have thought you had it all, but he's got some, too. Just because he acts like he acts up here, that don't mean he ain't got sense. He just learned not to lean to his own understanding. Some people do what they want to do. All right, now, you understand what I'm saying? So I'm telling you, the Bible said, stop another man's lips from praising. You know what it said? Somebody quote that to me if I made a misquotation. Brother Charlie, quote that to me, can you? All right. Now, do you agree that Brother Taylor's lips is another man's lips? Have you agreed it's not my lips, it's his lips? Well, why is it that you get so upset about what God said? You told me you love the Lord. You want to serve God. But you stay upset all the time about what God said. I don't believe you believe what you believe. How do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody says, well, I think you're just trying to protect yourself. I don't need no protection. My wife takes care of me. I'm trying to defend the word. Paul said we're set for the defense of the gospel. I said, why does God use human beings? Like over in the Carolinas, they stir that thing up there they stir it like you're making buttermilk. We'll kill him. We'll stop him. Yeah, that old Brother Pike. More of the people come down. Well, they ought to have enough knowledge to know the more you talk about it, the bigger it's going to get. The more people going to come to find out what's going on. And then when they get down here and they taste the ice cream, they're going to stay a while. Somebody say amen. Somebody said, well, you could have gone on all day long, Brother Pike, and not said that. But I'd have felt incomplete. All right? So then, I didn't mean that against the Carolinas. They do that in the islands. They do that in Mexico. They do that everywhere. I mean everywhere. They do that everywhere. Everywhere that they can get a little bit of understanding of me and somebody else, well, they start on me. That's true. I just use that for an example. All right, now let's look at it just a minute. Why does God use a human being? It's because that God is a spirit. The only way you can see God is through a human being. Now, you know, some people, they feel like God just made a bunch of human beings so he could have a bunch of human beings. Now, wouldn't it be absurd for me and Brother Taylor to go out on a job today and I say, Brother Taylor, I'm going to make me $50,000. Say, why? So I can have $50,000. So what you going to do, Brother Taylor? I'm going to make me $50,000 too. What you going to do? I'm going to make it so I can have me $50,000. I mean, what good is $50,000 just to have around? You understand what I'm saying? Are you staying with me? God didn't make a bunch of human beings just to have a bunch of human beings. Why, he's never had more problems out of anything than a human being. The Bible said he repented in his heart that he even made them. That ought to make you feel good. Somebody thinks they're so big, you know, and that God's really got his eye on them. The Bible said he repented that he ever even brought you into the world. He even made you start with. Somebody said, well, he was talking about them. I know it, but you're them. So that don't make us very big in his sight, does it? All right, now, God made human beings for a purpose. You make money to buy groceries with. You make money to pay bills with. You make money to buy cars with. That's the joy of the money. God made human beings for a purpose. And that purpose was that He, the invisible God, might manifest Himself in a visible way. Somebody say, what do you mean? I'm talking about a mother. She sits over here and she sees a little girl with long curls running around. And she says, ain't she sweet? You ever tasted of God to see if He was sweet? How do you know that God's spirit of life? How do you know that that's the life running around in them beautiful little curls? How do you know you mind God? Somebody said, but God never intended that. Well, why did He ever make Adam a wife? If He didn't want His affection on him. Why did He say for you to love Him like to love the church? Somebody said, but God wants you to love Him. That's that old hypocrite, you know. You hear Him? God wants you to love Him, somebody said. Not give His glory to that little girl with the curls. Brother, I didn't make that girl with the curls, and I didn't put life in that little girl with the curls. God did that. And He made a mother to love her. And He made the mother so she say, ain't she a beautiful thing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, God said you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. You grieve them, you grieve me. Are you listening? God is a spirit of life. God doesn't resent that little girl with the curls thinking she's taking His glory. That's God's glory made manifest. That's the creative act of God that magnifies God. Say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for my little old darling with the long curls. Hallelujah. She's so pretty. My world would be empty without her, Jesus. You know what it took to satisfy me. Is that all right? Hallelujah. See, it's them hypocrites that's jealous. That old Cain devil is saying, you ain't said that about me. I made a statement here while I'm back. Out of all my years of travel, I've never had one man or woman that ever come to me and say, well, I think they overdo it, done it, when they said something good about me. But I had a lot of them thought they overdone it when they said something good about me. Come on. Come on. Is that right? What are you worried about? Why do I interrupt your world? Now you say, Brother Pike, I'm talking about all of God's people. I'll get to my point in just a few minutes. God uses human beings. God isn't against the little girl with the curls. He's against the evil infiltration of the devils of lust that corrupt her. When she grows up, it pulls her off to a ballroom and turns her into a prostitute, and then you place your affection on her. You're falling after a devil. That's the thing God don't want. Somebody said, well, I ain't going to do nothing like that, but some of you hypocrites that sit around talking about somebody taking the glory of God, you're worse than a prostitute. Prostitute's only a type of a spiritual whatever you are. So then God humans uses human beings. The Bible said when Moses was dead, God began to magnify Joshua. Why? Now, I want you to listen to this, folks. It said that when Moses was dead, Brother Al Gonzalez began to magnify Joshua. Somebody said, what's the matter with you, Brother Pine? No, that wasn't what it said at all, was it? That wasn't what it said. It didn't say Brother Al Gonzalez began to magnify Joshua. It said God began to magnify Joshua. Is that right? The Bible said the preparation of a man's heart's from God. Somebody said, but I think that's evil. But the Bible said He has His way in the evil too. If it's evil, God's having His way in it. It's still God. If Frank is right, it's God. If it's wrong, it's God. If Brother Al Gonzalez is right, it's God. If he's wrong, it's God. God creates the good. God creates the evil. God has His way in both. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. The man come to Brother Branham and said, you know, them people said all them good things about you. Said, I know it makes you feel bad, don't you, Brother Branham? He said, no, not at all. Not at all. You don't have to worry. You got enough that says bad things about you. It'll offset the other. You don't have to worry about that. You love the Lord? Now, I'm not protecting anything. I'm speaking in the defense of the Word to try to get you into one mind, to see eye to eye, speak the same thing, walk hand in hand, not break ranks. Somebody said, I'll never do it. Well, goodbye. God bless you. Write us a letter when you get there. There's no need to make yourself miserable and me miserable too. All right, now, God uses human beings, and I'm trying my best to find a place to close here, but I feel that God wants me to express this. God uses human beings, folks. God not only wants to use Brother Pike, but God wants to use Brother You and Sister You as well as He does Brother Pike. God is a spirit. The only glory that God can give is for a man to be magnified in the earth. I didn't want to say that just yet. There's a few things I'd like to have said first. I'm afraid you won't get it too clear. Listen to me real close, and I'm trying to close. If there never had been an Adam, we'd have not known much about God, would they? I said if there'd never been an Abraham that was magnified as the father of the faithful, we'd have never known much about God, would we? Come on, folks. I said if there'd never been a Moses, the world had never had the testimony of God that they had, would they? The Bible said that God raised up Moses that all the world might fear him and know about him. Are you listening to me? If there had never been Elijah, there had never been much fuss made about God, would there? But it was because that old bald-headed prophet came into the land and said, thus saith the Lord. And the heavens trembled that they feared God, and they said, God's in His place. That same hypocrite that'll find fault with a man of God, if you'll listen, he'll tear everything you've got in you down and find fault with everybody else as well. You just give him enough time. He's a devil. I never would have been much of God known if it hadn't been a man by the name of Jesus, would there? I said that was God personified. That went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. I never knew much about God till I read about Jesus. And I found out what kind of God I had. Hallelujah. He was a man. Flesh and bones, he said. God's looking for a man to stand in the gap. You can be a man. You can magnify Jesus. You can tell about God. God will magnify you. Somebody said, well, to me, they're all just alike. I know it. Just like you. That's your form of thinking. When you say everybody's just alike, that's just like saying a Cadillac's the same as a T model. If that's true, why do people want Cadillacs? Why don't they get them some T models? Somebody said, well, I don't see any difference in them. That's because you're blind and can't see a fall. Somebody said, well, I don't see no difference. I don't see where one is better than another. That's because you're blind. Why, it's the Bible said to give double honor to them. Esteem them very highly. The Bible said for their work's sake. Are you listening? I said, why is it the Lord magnified them? Why did the Bible say that God, now God, not Brother Taylor, not Brother Al, not Brother Zale, but it said God. Are you listening? Hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Somebody said, well, I don't see where is any above me. But God said, I raised him above the fellers. Why did God magnify him? Why did God magnify him? I said that old devil, jealous devil came. Can't get in on the glory. God would have given him some glory. God said, if you do well, said, wouldn't you be accepted too? But sin lies at the door. That's where the problem is. An old jealous devil, if you get rid of the thing and do something for God and love righteousness, God will elevate you. God lifts up one and puts down another. You follow me? Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Somebody say amen. I'm feeling better. You understand a little more? See, God is trying to magnify Himself, folks. And God, who is a spirit, uses human beings. You are the body of God. There is no other body except human beings. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I'm so ignorant that I think people are the body of Jesus Christ? I hope you're not that ignorant. I'm trying to tell you that sons and daughters of God is the body of God. And there ain't no other human body that is the body of God. And Jesus Christ is the head to that body, Paul said. Somebody said, I don't think you preaching right when you say that they are the body. I think Jesus is the body. Well, that wasn't what the Bible said. Paul said, you're the body. And he told me to preach the word. Is that right? Somebody said, well, he was cute. He was making believe. Paul wasn't cute. He wasn't making believe. He wasn't telling you some kind of fairy tale. People live so fictitious up here, you know, that you say something, they live in a cute little feminist world of make-believe. He said the church was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. There wasn't no make-believe about it. That means real, genuine. He said they had royal blood flowing through their veins. Do you want God to use you? God will use you as an individual. All right, let's stand together. God wants to use you, folks.